You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
On The Dan Nichols Show this week, I am in Bangkok in Thailand with the godfather of fine dining here in Thailand's capital. He's not from Thailand, though. He's an Indian chef who arrived nearly two decades ago and hasn't left since. And that means we could spend hours and hours talking about one of the definitive restaurants, not just here in Thailand, but in all of Asia and, dare I say, the world. But I'm afraid that for once, the cooking of Gagananan takes very much second place, because the man joining me on the show today is just back from India, and a far more important topic than cooking, Gagan,
is cricket. Yes, I'm sorry for you. I had no intention to take the cup again.
Yes, you did.
But first, I want to clarify, when you say Godfather, am I Marlon Brando or am I Al Pacino?
Definitely Marlon Brando.
I want to be Al Pacino. Like a hot, sexy guy, you know. Welcome to Thailand.
Thank you.
As we were talking about how you migrated and things happen, I migrated to Thailand about 20 years back. And I think I was landing in the airport today, and then things have changed. I was actually looking at how many flights are coming because of the situation we have in. And Thailand being a tourist and Middle East being the hub of transit flights. But I saw like every flight from Paris, and there were other countries apart from Asia, and they were quite full. So I think Thailand is still holding strong as one of the places where you can go any time of the year and have a good time.
And that tourism boom is not new, but one of the reasons for tourists coming, I think, has been added to this long list, because while you haven't been very successful, I'm afraid, at bringing cricket to Thailand, and I hold you personally responsible for that, what you have been able to do is usher in, with a lot of people alongside, this extraordinary new chapter of dining in Bangkok. Because when you touched down 20 years ago, the fine dining scene here was nothing like what it is today.
Nothing. I had an argument with a person, you know, who I can't name and I shouldn't name, and they were talking about what is your success. The argument was the measurement of success. How do you measure success? I think the biggest measure I have to myself is that I was at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Why I say that is because when fine dining, look at 20 years back, this country was all about cheap Charlie, street food, noodle bowl, staying as a backpacker, or this taboo that came with Thailand. If you are going here, okay, are you a sugar daddy? And these are facts. And I think there was this change where Thailand became Singapore, Thailand became Japan, Thailand became Hong Kong, where you didn't just see these big buildings mushrooming everywhere, but what you also saw was fine dining, where people were spending more money on food than the hotel. People were more spending money on bars than the hotel. And now the hotels itself have boomed in its own way. And I think you're the best pass. People come here for detox. People come here for fine dining culinary adventure. It's just not me. The thing is, what I did has become a society. And this revolution has happened because it is a suppressed atmosphere. When you don't look in a country that doesn't give you what you expect, and suddenly there's a boom, and then everything comes from that part of the world. And I think these are the significant... I think South Africa is also going that direction.
Very much so.
Yeah. You know, when I went to South Africa last year, a few months back, I was like, okay, South Africa, what do you expect? I was asking people, should I wear my watch or capella? I mean, these taboos you have, and then you reach Cape Town and my mind was blown up. The hotel was incredible. And people were the most hospitable people I've ever seen in my life.
I love to hear that.
Yeah, I am not telling you. I was so surprised. I was so happy. And I really thought my daughter would have had great fun. It's really value for money. And the people are really happy. When you see happiness in normal people, even if they're sitting on the streets, that is reality of life. And I think it relates to me coming to Bangkok.
You came to Bangkok with a dream of wanting to cook. I think at that stage you were still juggling, were you going to become a chef or a full-time rock star? And in the end, you went with the cooking route, although drumming, I suspect, will always be in the DNA.
Sorry to cut you through, but music is still my DNA. And what I've done is in last 20 years, let's say 15 years of Gagan, which is more specific. In my 15 years of Gagan, I have made sure that my love, which I love is about music, has been paired to my daily life so that I don't get burnt out, so that I don't get bored off.
And that's crucial because what you're doing can be so all-consuming. The life of a chef is not a gentle one. It can look quite glamorous, the awards and the travel, but it can be a 27-hour-a-day job. So you need something that gives you the yin to cooking's yang.
I think it goes down to balancing your life. I've burnt out in my last 13 years. And last year I decided I need to balance my life. I need to take day offs. I need to not work on a day when I don't want to work. If I don't want to work, if I'm mentally I'm not prepared to, and you will know tonight that Gagan is a concert. And I have met famous musicians and they say, how can you do this every night? It's like 5 concerts in a row. I said, yes, but I don't want to be burnt out where I'm doing 5 concerts a day. So I thought, balance of life, travel teaches me cultures. Like when I went to South Africa, it inspired me. The culture, the terroir, the people, and this melting pot of so many different people from different parts of the world that immigrated to this part of the world and became one. And I think these affairs that I had with travel, with luxury, with friends, with traveling, and then going to a space and discovering new ingredients, these are all part of my current profession, where I balance life, where I believe in yin and yang, that you need to disconnect to reconnect.
We are a few hours away from me having my second Gagan experience. I'm very excited. I had one before, your previous iteration, and I remember having read up about this near-mythical Indian chef who'd taken Bangkok by storm and had this restaurant, but that it was easier to get centre court tickets for the Wimbledon final than it was to get into Gagan's restaurant unless you'd booked 18 months in advance. Somehow I managed it and was able to sneak in, and it was a definitive experience of my culinary career. For so many reasons, the theatre of it, the aesthetic of it, but the fact that the substance backed up the aesthetic at every single stage. And I came away thinking, I'd love to meet this guy because, first of all, he's clearly completely mad, but he's got this wonderful, wonderful vision that he's been able to translate. How did that vision take shape? How did this broad signature that the world now sees of Gagan, of these multiple courses, this putting on a show, how did that find its way to become what it is today?
I think it's a journey of a butterfly. You start as a caterpillar, you cocoon yourself, and then you become this, and then it dies. And I think this evolution is a cycle of life. In any field, to excel, you just can't become. I mean, today's world, I have this argument, like a kid takes money from her or whatever, from parents, and invest in crypto and think the person is successful. I want to see the person when he or she at 40. Are you doing what you want to believe in what you do? I have paved my path through serious hardship. I've been cooking for last 26 years as a chef and 3 years of culinary school. That makes me 29 years of holding knife for good things. And I think I had to burn my hand for my first 10 years. And then I had to burn as Gagan for my next 10 years. And when I burned these two eras of my life, in my current life, I said, I will not do a big restaurant. I will not satisfy people. I will satisfy myself, my team. If the inner happiness is achieved in what we do, that's why we have a 14-seat restaurant, which will become 15-seat in a few months, is to make sure that we can give that experience that we really want to portray. The idea is to make you uncomfortable. You call me mad. Yes, I am absolutely mad because my first idea is to make you uncomfortable. And I think in the old restaurant, I was making people comfortable and myself uncomfortable.
I think I would agree with that almost. There was a sense of discomfort at the previous restaurant when I had a first look at the menu and it appeared to be made by a 12-year-old with an iPhone because there was nothing on it I could understand. It was just this collection of emojis and I had to try and guess my way through dinner. But it made for such a wonderful swirling journey, and only afterwards did you deign to let us know what we'd actually eaten. How did that idea come about?
I think that was an idea. I took a flight to US. First time flying to New York, 2016, and I had an iPad, and you know, when you are first time luxury, you really want to exploit it. So I sent text from my Wi-Fi. I'm at 38,000 feet. I have Wi-Fi. Look at my shower. I'm going to shower in the fucking 38,000 feet coffin, and I'm going to have fun in that shower, and I'm going to see all the plastic everywhere with all the smiles, and drink expensive bottle of champagne, and first, even if I burp, I will post it and eat caviar if I don't like fishy flavor, because the posts are more important. So I did all that. It's called new money. And then my secretary sent me a message, says, you need to finish the menu by tomorrow. I said, okay. All of all that, I took out my iPad, and I remember there was a dish called banana chicken liver. So banana chicken liver, and whenever banana chicken liver, banana became a banana. And I then realized that we live where your restaurant has become a museum. So you have people coming from all over the world without understanding you, who you are. They've just come to judge you. It's like a tick-off. I am at Gagan's, the best restaurant in Asia. I am at Gagan, the best Indian chef in the world. Blah, blah, blah. And they come to strip you. They are watching it. So if I have a weakness, they go on. So I said, okay, if these guys come from Japan, Korea, or Latin America, or some other non-English-speaking countries, and suddenly they land in my restaurant, I can't relate and tell every story that I've created. But if I put an emoji, it immediately gives you... And that time we didn't have AI and this bullshit that we have now. And now you can just fucking take a Google, blah, blah, blah. And I've become anti that because creativity happened by mistakes. And that gave me a solution to a problem that a photo, a picture, a symbol, self-explanatory everything.
It was masterful. It was such a simple yet brilliant idea.
And it was playful. And that's where I realized that I can be the naughty kid I was and get away with everything that's wrong and still have my fame, which people want. So people want to take a photo of emoji. You know, we're entering that field of, you know, emoji, wow, what is a middle finger? Is a middle finger really a middle finger dish? I'm going to suck up middle finger. And then I had to create a dish for middle finger. You know, and these things, I mean, this, then you lick it up, for example, you know. All this, then it all became child's play. It was just like, and have not paid any copyright to emojis. You know, and that's, if you call me a godfather, yeah, that was proper. It is completely, I don't know, I asked these guys, you know, is it legal or is it illegal to use emoji? And then I said, okay, if somebody challenged me, writing in English is legal, so writing emoji is not a problem.
It's just another language.
Yes.
Another font.
Yes.
The joy that you clearly get from that episode, an early one of, suggests to me that if I were to ask you to look back at your greatest triumph, so they might not be the ones that people from the outside would expect. The Michelin stars, the world's 50 best, the best restaurants in Asia. They would instead be occasions that are perhaps more personal, more intimate, give you that naughty, wicked sense of fun that the menu did. Would that be the case? And if so, what are some of those moments, some of those occasions that give you so much joy that from the outside we might not always have seen?
Okay, a very funny one. My daughter Tara, she was born in 2016. She's almost 10. she moved to a milk bottle. And a milk bottle, and she had this teething issues, you know, the young kids. She used to bite the nipple of the plastic nipple of whatever, rubber or whatever, and bite. And I was like, you know, I'm from extreme poverty. So I was like, when I was a child, I asked my mom, I said, "Mom, did you give me Pampers?" She said, "No." I said, "No, because mom, my daughter spends 5 Pampers a day. I mean, it's not only just cost, it's ecologically wastage, but we live in that world. Even dogs get Pampers nowadays." So, and then this was this milk bottle. I said, "Mom, Tara is teething and she's biting the nipple, and every 2 days we have to change the nipple. It's not about the cost, it's just like so much of wastage. Is there any solution to it?" She said, "No." And then that gave me an idea. So I said, if my daughter is doing this, so I had a dish called Lick It Up. And the first thing you do in life is breastfeeding. And then you go to licking. And then you start eating, right? These are 3 basic steps of every human.
Natural journey.
Yeah, natural journey. So what I did was I created a dish which was absolutely bonkers. So there's not the word called...
Even for you.
It was absolutely absurd. I mean, but absurdity worked. It was absurd in a way where... It was absolutely absurd. I'm sorry, I'm taking your time, but I will send you the photo. And we made a mango lassi. Oh, here we are.
So if you're listening and not watching, you'll see this. We'll put it up on the Dan Nichols Show page.
Yeah. I'll send you the photos.
Kids bottle with a mango lassi inside.
Yeah, mango lassi. It's a mango milkshake.
and
we played the song Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And we made people shake and suck. So you couldn't even open. So the best thing was like an 80-year-old grandpa with his grandkids is suddenly sucking, you know? And you can't get away with it. You can't. They laugh. They can't get offended. But it is offensive. It's absolutely wrong. And that's your dessert. It was a form of mango lassi, small little punch of the best mangoes at the season. You could only do it 3 months. And we did it for 3 months. And people are like, "You're sucking." And then you had to make a bigger hole because the first week the hole was too small, so it didn't fucking come out. So they were 1 hour sucking the whole milk bottle. And then you had aggression to people. Like, you know, those people are drunk. You've done 23 courses and you have this milk bottle. You're completely losing yourself. And then you're just like aggressive, like, "Why the fuck is not coming?" And it's pressing the bottle. You could see all that emotions of eating. And that was because episode from my home. So it is absolutely child's play. It's completely bonkers, but it worked.
And I can see why it meant so much to you, because it's still amazing food, but you've wrapped it up in this uniquely Gagan context.
Absolutely. I think that's my personality. It's about this mystery. I mean, there are ways in life to achieve something. Now, I'm not born to be on a tablecloth at service. I'm not where the bread will come, the service will come, and then I will fold a napkin and open a bottle of cheap wine in a way that it is the most expensive wine and do the service. I think we have gone to an era where fine dining has become not an experience. Fine dining have today become a joke, where you are judged how you look, what bag she's carrying, how much you'll spend on the wine, and what color you are from, or everything. All these things have become fine dining. I don't want to name a country, but I remember, and I'm not a social, I'm a private drinker. So if I have to drink alcohol, I'll drink it very privately with my friends, and not on daily basis, or not even in concert, but sometime in a bar. And I don't like cocktails because I don't take sugar. So, when you go out in a restaurant, sometimes I like to just eat. I don't like wine pairing. Okay, this is me personal. I give that in my restaurant, but I don't like. And then with Vlad, I'm just doing natural wine. So it's already a wrong in many restaurants. So when you go to a restaurant, and remember I was in this country, which I can't name, but you know, you'll understand. And there was this beautiful looking hostess, amazing. And she just came to me and said, "That's a sake." I said, "Okay." And I asked with my little knowledge of sake, "I want daiginjo, blah, blah, blah." She had no clue. But she was gorgeous. So there was no chance of escaping her. And then I saw the menu and I said, "Okay, what do you recommend?" Without a second, it went to the most expensive one. Pak!
Bang.
Okay, I said, "Can you give me this one? I don't want that expensive one because I know this one I know. I don't want that one." And then she had this frown, unhappy face because her commission was cut. And then a Filipino guy came, poor guy, and he started serving the sake, who had much better knowledge than her. This destroyed me. That one experience bought me that fine dining has become that. Or the Salt Bay guy. He has millions of followers because he just pours salt on a fucking meat. And over salty because of the amount of salt he puts. What are we? We live in that area. So I thought, if this is what's happening in the world, I need to differentiate. I need to be myself. And I don't want to be there. I don't want people to go. That's why in Gagan, it's one ticket, one price. You can be a billionaire in your private jet, or you could be a backpacker saving up to be here. And you all will be having the same food, the same wine, no dress code, and sit in the same table. And if you want to show off that you want to buy that expensive bottle of wine, sorry, sir.
The Gagan experience will be complete in as much as it ever can for me when I dine at your 14-seater tonight. But I've already got a reasonable amount of my Gagan education because of such a big part of your success, which is your team. I got to hang out with them at the market. I had dinner with them last night. They're very badly behaved and gave me far too much wine, but they're an absolute delight to spend time with. And they are from Croatia and from Indonesia and from Mexico and from Portugal. And I suspect it's not an accident that there is such a cosmopolitan feel to this team, but they're united also by sharing this philosophy. They were all so happy to roll up their sleeves, jump into showing us the markets, showing us behind the scenes, giving us the real essence of not just who Gagan is, but what this Gagan story is. And that's such a big part of what you've created.
I think, I'm sorry that I went to watch cricket. And
no, you're not.
Not now. I mean, now I'm not sorry. I'm absolutely happy. But again, I didn't have a zero threat or insecurity that you guys visiting from all over the world will be not taken care of. Because my business partner is a Serbian, not a French sommelier. My other business partner is not a any other country, but an Indonesian head chef who became my business partner and runs kitchen. He just proposed to a Russian girl who's Lada down. In Gagan, there are at least 8-9 nationalities working on any day. The multicultural idea is because I don't choose a pedigree and I do not choose a resume. They all come to work in Gagan as a paid stager, with all these controversies going on. This was before. And these people, when they come, I see them as raw talent. It's like I was telling you, you watch people playing in the cricket field. They're a 14-year-old kid you think can become the next star. And I don't look at the next star. I look at, can they become a family? So Fabio, who's the head chef, in 2019, he was a stager. Lada, who's the sous chef, was a stager with him. Now Fabio, I asked him, "You have a lot of tattoos." He said, "Yeah." And he said, "I love Foo Fighters." I said, "Show me." He said, "Here, Everlong. The whole lyrics are here." I said, "Can you put a big me in your ass?" As a joke, can you put big me, you know, the song by Foo Fighters. And then he said, "I put big me in my ass." I said, "You have my fucking head chef. I'm going to make you my head chef." We need these people because this is the enthusiasm. When Hernan came from Mexico, he was a quiet little nerdy guy. Now he's a monster. And I think when I traveled to South Africa, when I traveled to Colombia or Mexico, these were three trips I made, or Japan, I take them. And I don't take them as HR. I don't take them that this is how I'm going to make them happy. I take them so that when I'm learning a culture, they're learning a culture too. Like me, Fabio, Vlad, and Rido, we shared a small room in Tokyo to watch Foo Fighters live. And we were four people in bunker beds, half naked, absolutely drunk and wasted after a Foo Fighter concert. And I think that was not planned.
But also one of the great nights of your lives.
Yeah, this is what I say. I mean, whenever there's a concert, nowadays, if there's a concert not on a weekend, I try to close my restaurant. So, hey, you know, we're closing the restaurant. Why? Because Green Day is coming, so I want all of you to come. Hey, Smashing Pumpkins is coming after 20 years to Bangkok, and they're going to play Siamese Twins, you know?
Like, apparently Heston Blumenthal does the same for Taylor Swift, so it happens with...
Is he a Swiftie?
I'm kidding. I doubt it, but I can't say 100%.
Yeah, I don't think so. He's a Swiftie. Yeah. I think he is I think he's a Oasis guy, I think so. He looks like one of them, right?
I think he could
the
well
third
be.
Brother.
When we get him on the show, we'll ask him about that. I do have one final food question for you, but I would like to ask you about another mark of success. I think you'll tell me where it sits on the success scale, but it's one when 19 years ago, when this Indian kid with wild ideas and hopes of becoming a chef touched down in the city that was to become your home, you probably wouldn't have predicted this being on your horizon, even you with a vivid imagination, and that is Gagan, the face of Louis Vuitton.
I'm not the face. I don't wear Louis Vuitton, so I don't want to also. I think it was a... If you're an adventurer, you can't stop at one point and say this is the end. When I look at adventure, like mountain climbing or... I remember in my first year of Gagan in 2010, December, first month, a guy came and he said, I'm going to write about you. And he wrote me in Time, and Heston had just opened Dinner by Heston. So there's a Dinner was on this page of Time, and I had the small article on the left side. And it says, this Indian Robinson Crusoe / Captain Kirk of Star Trek. And it took me as a kid, Star Trek, you know, your Matchbox phones, right? And I said, wow, an adventure, culinary adventure. From there, I took life as an adventure. And I have cooked before that for 10 years. So it was not that I was coming as a fresher. Yes, I had never imagined that I'll be sitting with you today and doing this amazing podcast or talking about cricket. I imagined that I will pave my way to my dreams. In 2007, I had never heard about El Bulli. In 2010, I was in El Bulli. In the labs, of course. And 2013, I had never imagined I'll be in the list of Asia's 50 best in the first year. I was in top 10. In 2015, I had no idea, when people were just telling me that your hype is over, I will become number one. I became number one. The second year of 2016, when I became number one again, people said, he must have paid. In 2017, when I became number one again, they said, it's a fluke. In 2018, finally they shut up. I shut up my critics. 2019, I was burnt. I was so burnt that I said, no more. And I was at peak of my career. And I had the world's best in my hands in a few years. And I left the queue. And I'd rethought life. I rejuvenated in the COVID period when people... I had changed my personal life, I changed my financial life, I changed everything. And then I started fresh. And in that, I reinvented myself to who I am today. And then when last year, when I got number one again in Asia for the fifth time, was it the first time? Was it the fifth time? I don't know. But it had to prove that please do not tell. There is never that Heston will ever be any other Heston, because Heston is Heston. There'll be a second Heston who copied the parts of Heston, but there's no one in the world with the madness and the energy and the craziness and the ADHD and whatever symptoms he has to become Heston, he is. And he's my guru, one of my gurus, apart from Farah. And whenever we meet, we have that energy exchange. And I think this is what I have become. Because Heston or El Bulli, people have taught me that you can be who you are if you believe in what you do. And today, in the next 3 weeks or 2 weeks, we have Asia's 50 Best again in Hong Kong. And maybe we are not number one, maybe we are number three. But will that change who we are or what we do or what we cook? No. And that's why in 2026, in 3 months, we are renovating the restaurant, because I suddenly had this idea. I went to a Tool concert and it blew my fucking mind. I said, fuck, can I have a restaurant with no phones allowed? And I want people to experience a restaurant without phones. I want people, I don't want this influencer to say, hey, can you be partnering with me or shit? I said, I want to piss people off the moment they come, because they can let loose of all the things they've been doing as a daily thrash and become themselves. Because we live in an era where a couple cannot be holding hands because they're on their phones on a Valentine's.
It's my wife and I have a WhatsApp group where we talk about exactly the same thing to each other.
Yeah, because we are probably same age, yeah. So
we're both 1978. It's a great year.
Yes.
Good year for Bordeaux, better year for podcast presenters and Indian chefs. You've done some great things in this career of yours. It's been a wild, mad roller coaster. And amongst all the challenges, and there have been many, there's been so much success, there's so much joy as well. There is one final challenge to be met. And I cannot tell you when this challenge will come. I fear that we might both be in our 90s when it does. But when it does happen, Gagan, I am going to come back to Bangkok, because I am going to ask you to cook a meal for me, and just a single dish. But it's going to be South Africa finally winning a Cricket World Cup.
I'm going to make my version of chakalaka.
I was going to ask you what it would be.
So. Yeah, because Ryan was here, and I was there, and when I did this tasting of weird things, and the chakalaka was like, wow, that's pure Indian, that's pure African, and that's everything that is, it is.
I don't know if you know George Colombaris, MasterChef Australia, when George came to South Africa. Firstly, the name, chakalaka, especially in Australian accent, he fell in love, then he tasted it, fell in love again. So there we go. 2053, when South Africa wins their first Cricket World Cup, I shall be back in Bangkok. We might be on our walkers and putting our teeth back in for dinner.
I think we should do it within the 60s or 70s. You know, after 70s, you're not wanted. Yeah. In today's world, you're not wanted. They need your property, they need your gold, they need your watches, they need your cars, but you're not wanted physically.
Oh, dear.
That's a dark ending, right?
No, it will be sadder than that, and I look forward to celebrating.
No, I want you to come every 10 years to see my era. It's like, I'm this mad guy, but I realize that I'm an artist in what I do. And in my first 20 years, my new menu is exactly like this. Is my juvenile era. What taste I took. How I adapted to those tastes. And then came my young adult, where I was a rebel. I was just like, hey, fuck you. Hey, I don't like you. I don't like your job. I don't want to work under you. All that rebellious thing you have to do in your young age. And then move to Bangkok. And then suddenly the adventure starts. And that was my era of my 30s when I did my last Gagan. Now I'm in my 40s. In my new era, I'm in Nirvana. In my bliss. And I am creating my second journey, is that I'm venturing into hotels now. And in 3 years, when I'm 50, when you're 50, I hope you can come back, enjoy my hotel, And next podcast should be in my hotel.
Consider it a deal.
It is. It's going to be called Gagan Hotel. And it's going to be from you stepping in to stepping out, everything is taken care. And you will not have a hot-looking hostess telling me, hey, which sake do you want? Because everything is inclusive. So
I'll have a 6'2" Serbian instead. Instead, he was an ugly, natural wine,
the ugly fucker from Serbia trying to explain his knowledge about wine.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Gagan, I am going to hold you to that because that sounds fabulous. I'd also love to watch some cricket with you in India one day. So
We will do that.
We'll get that done as well. Pleasure. And I'm thrilled about the chance to be able to eat here tonight. So thank you in advance for that. But also thank you, not just for lighting up Bangkok's food scene. It's no secret that you've done that, but you just add so much fun and delight and rebelliousness to the world of food. It puts a smile on the face of so many of us, so thank you for that.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you so much. Thank you. And chakalaka.
So there we go. Look out for an upcoming episode of the Dan Nichols Show at a sprawling hotel brought to you by Gagan in a few years' time. I've got no idea what it'll like other than it will be very, very cool. Until then, you have the opportunity to go back and have another listen. Why wouldn't you? Because he is one of the coolest, most fascinating characters in the world of food. And as long as he doesn't keep reminding me that India beat South Africa in Cricket World Cups, I'll be okay to spend some more time with him. My special guest in Bangkok on the Dan Nichols Show this week, Gagan Anand.
You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.